Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our associate and student pastor, Matt Willingham.
Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Want to welcome all of you today, man. I just feel some faith being strengthened this morning already. Before we even get in the word, Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going today. And want to welcome all of you here to Valpo. Welcome our guests, man. If you are here for the first time, we want to say welcome. And again, I don't mean to put them on blast, but I don't know if you realize this. If you ever see somebody walking around with a white bag, they've got a gift. That means they're a first-time guest. So go out your way, introduce yourself, meet their name, and make them feel welcome at home like a lot of you already do. I do got to give a special shout-out. Hopefully he don't hate me. But my man Brian's in the house. Brian plays basketball for me. And is it your first time here on a Sunday morning, Brian? Brian's a first-time guest today. Y'all give it up for Brian. That's my friend. Brian, don't hate me since I called you up. Brian plays basketball for me. And Morgan, you let me know after church if I preach as good as I coach. Hopefully I preach better than I coach, all right? And but so good to see you. North Justin Hebron is on with us. Wanata and Westville. Want to welcome all of you watching online today. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going today, as we start a new series. And the title of our series is Jesus Is. Everybody say Jesus Is. And we're building up to Easter. And man, Easter is right around the corner. I want to remind you again, Easter is the perfect time to invite someone to church. It's the perfect time to not come to church alone. So do me a favor and do yourself a favor. Start praying right now, tomorrow, today, this afternoon. God, who is it in my sphere of influence? Who is it at my job? Who is it at my school? Who is it in my family that I can bring to church? The team is working hard, and man, they've got some incredible music planned, and they've got some monologue. We got a brand new piano player making his debut. Y'all ain't ready for this piano player we got coming at you. So I'm gonna shout out to my boy Melvin. He gonna hate me for that. But we got a lot of good things. And listen, come to church with someone. Pray. Say, God, who is it you want me to bring? And I promise, man, it would be a great weekend experience for you, for them. And we're just going to pray God's going to do a lot of life change, because the following week we got another baptism, and it's going to be a great weekend, man. So everybody say Jesus Is. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." Oh, I love that. Underline it in your notes. "According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." He said that Christ may dwell, and that you being rooted and grounded may be able, in verse 18, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. In verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Come on, let's pray one more time. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for your son Jesus on the cross, who died and he rose again. And because of him, we can come and have relationship. We can come into your presence today. And so, God, I just pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to what it is you have to say to us today. God, that we would leave here challenged and changed, Lord, different than how we were when we came in this place, how we were than we walked into that location, how we were than we clicked on today to join online. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said amen. 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 Jesus Is. Today, I want to start our series by talking to you about Jesus Is More Than Enough. I think if I were to ask you of something in life, if I was to say, can you or do you want more of something, I don't think many of us would turn it down. Like, for example, if I was to say to you, I can give you more money, how many of you would say, sign me up for that? Come on, quickly. The rest of y'all got more money, what you know to do with? I'm going to tell you right now, you can write me out a check then. If I was to say I could give you more peace, how many of you say, yeah, give me some more peace. Give me some more joy, right? Come on. All of those things. Now, not everything in life we want more of, right? Like some of us, you know, we don't want more stress. We don't want more problems. Some of us don't want more kids, right? If I was to say, I can give you more kids, I'm good. I don't want no more kids. Like, not everything in life is more of. However, there's a lot of things in life that we know we would experience and we would enjoy more. We would enjoy more peace. We would enjoy more love. We would enjoy more forgiveness, more money. All of that stuff we would enjoy. And if I was to ask you, we could give you more of that. I think every one of us instantaneously would say, yes, I want more of those good things. And I've come to find out in my life, but here's the problem that I have. If Jesus is more than enough, that's what we're going to be talking about today. That's what the Bible tells me. Now, I read it, and I say it, but do I live it? Because if Jesus is more than enough, then here's my question. Why do I just live my life good enough? I got good enough joy to make it. I got good enough peace. I mean, I'm not drowning, but I'm not thriving. I got good enough resources in my life. I've got good enough relationships in my marriage. I got good enough people around me. Do you hear that this morning? Oh, Jesus is more than enough, but yet I find myself living my life just good enough. And I think that my problem is, I'll talk to myself so I don't hurt your feelings. I think my problem is because I live life in just a point that Christ is just enough, I have more than enough of the negative things. Because I've got just enough of Christ, because I've got just enough Christ, I often find myself having more than enough discouragement. Because I've got just enough joy, I find myself having more than enough anxiety. Come on, talk to me this morning. And we find ourselves living in this world of Jesus is more than enough. Oh, I believe what the word says. I believe what scripture says. He's more than enough. And yet I find myself living in life just enough. We go to Ephesians today. We read the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesians. He's writing to the Christians there at the church. And we can glean on his words as well. This, if you study our text, if I can give you some context, this is the second of two prayers recorded in Ephesians. And the first prayer that the Apostle Paul has in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23, you can read that this week. The first prayer that Paul prays for the Christians, for the Christ followers, the first prayer is an emphasis on enlightenment, that they would know things, right? That they would understand things. That's his prayer. This prayer this morning that we see in Ephesians chapter 4, it's not a prayer of enlightenment. The emphasis is put on enablement. Now stay with me this morning. Because what the Apostle Paul says, and he's going to say to us, and when it comes to understanding Jesus is more than enough, it's not just so much, it's not as much as me knowing it and understanding it, as much as important as it is as me understanding it to the point I live it out. Like, I can say we're here at church together. We got everybody. We're in a good mood. The worship team just sung a good song, right? I can say Jesus is more than enough on Sunday, but do I live out more than enough on Tuesday? I can say Jesus is more than enough peace right now in service, but what do I do when the storms of life come this week? This is what the apostle is going to show us, and this is the power of Christ in our life, is there's a difference in knowing and there's a difference in being. What I've come to remind you this morning, what Paul wants to say to us, is there's a difference when we lay hands on what God has for us by faith and making it a part of our everyday life, not just declaring it when it feels good. Jesus is enough. Come on, say, Jesus is enough. Come on, say it like this. Jesus is more than enough. What Apostle Paul is saying, he says, I want you to lay your hands on this wealth. I want you to grasp it. This is what my prayer is for you today. I want you to realize how vast, how wide, how high God's resources are for your life. That more than enough means that he is sufficient. More than enough means that he's got everything that I need. More than enough means that there is no lack. More than enough means that there is no limit. More than enough means that there's nothing that I can ask of God that he cannot do. That's more than enough. In the Old Testament, it's the name that pops up for the first time, El Shaddai. It's the name that they give God, El Shaddai, meaning the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough. Not the God who is good enough, the God who is more than enough. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we find ourselves living a life good enough when God's called us to live a life that's more than enough. The Apostle Paul takes us to Ephesians chapter 4 is where I take you today in his writing. And he shows us the first thing is the position that our lives should be in to understand this. Because again, we say it, we declare it, but how do we walk this out? He says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the family in heaven and earth is named. For this reason, I bow my knees." Bowing is a sign, many of us would probably realize quickly, it's a sign of reverence and humility. For the Apostle Paul, you got to understand where he's writing this letter to the church in Ephesians, he's in prison. And oftentimes in imprisonment, particularly in this case, he's not just in jail, they would oftentimes chain two soldiers to the prisoner. And so here's Paul chained to two soldiers as he writes and as he says this letter to the church in Ephesians. And he says, "I bow myself, I humble myself," is what he's going to show us. If you and I want to understand, how do I live this life that Jesus is more than enough? It starts with humility in our own life. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says it like this, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I don't know if you've realized it. I've understood in my life at the ripe young age of 42, about to be 43 this year, that I can either humble myself before God or he will humble me before him. And I don't know about you. I would much rather, and it's a lot easier if I do it on my terms and if I do it a lot easier that way. So Paul says it's this position that you and I must get in, this position of what? Of humbleness, this position of humility. And the reason that is so tough for us is because for you and I, the way we have to understand, the way to access what God has for us is not working harder, but surrendering more. Oh, that's so hard. Because everything inside of us says, if I want it, I got to go get it. Everything inside of us says, if I want it, I got to work harder. I got to do more. I got to be more. It's all about me and all about what I can do. And everything inside of me says, all right, I got to make it happen. I got to get through this storm. I just got to grit my teeth and I got to get through this storm. What Paul is showing us when it comes to understanding that Jesus is more than enough, some of us have to understand that there's power in releasing. That too many of us live life like this. And Paul said, we got to learn how to live like this. That there's power in humility and saying, God, I can't do it by myself. God, I can't do it on my own. God, I need your strength. God, I need your power and spiritual strength for us comes when you and I simply humble ourselves. That when we humble ourselves to God and we lay a hold of his riches, that it's not about how much more can I do, but watch this, how much more can I let go? How much more can I surrender in my marriage? How much more can I surrender as a student, as I walk those hallways? How much more can I surrender when it comes to my finances? How much more can I surrender when it comes to my time? This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you want to experience Jesus is more than enough, it's got to start yourself in the right position, and that's a position of humility. That's a position of saying, God, it's yours. God, I'm yours. And watch, he says, when we start ourselves in the right position, when we start ourselves humbly, in verse 16, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, watch this, in the inner man. Can I talk to you about the power for a second? He says, well, Jesus is more than enough. So we come to a place and we surrender, we let go of. We bow ourselves. It's a sign of humility. Saying, God, I can't do it on my own. But after we surrender, God just doesn't leave us out to dry. Aren't you glad about that? He doesn't just say, all right, you surrendered. All right, sounds good. I'm glad you surrendered. You humbled yourself. Now go figure it out. No. Watch. He says, we surrender ourselves. We bow ourselves. And we pray that he would grant me, that he would grant you according, underline this in your notes, according to the riches of his glory. According to the power is what he's saying. One translation says it like this, according to the power that he works in you. And you're like, well, I don't understand that. If I find myself lacking, and he says, according to the power that works in me, what power is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Because you and I already have proof of this power of God. You know what it's called? It's the greatest miracle. If God doesn't do anything else for you, it's the greatest miracle he'll ever do for you. You know what it's called? Salvation. It's the greatest thing. And listen, we sung about it. How do we sometimes forget? How does it lapse our memory that had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for him going to the cross, had it not been for him paying the price for my sins that I should have been paying, had it not been for him coming and being willing to be a sacrifice for a sacrifice that I could not give, for a sacrifice that I earned, for a sacrifice that I deserve, but the sacrifice that I could not give, had it would not be, and had it not been for him coming and dying on the cross, and then I being saved because of his sacrifice. Oh, what a miracle that is. Because on my own, I don't even know how to get to God. On my own, I'm not even good enough. On my own, even on my best day, the Bible says my righteousness is like filthy rags. But thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ as he died and as he rose again on the third day that I can have relationship and I can have access to everything the Heavenly Father has for me. And if he does nothing else for me, that's great enough. Watch, as if that's not good enough, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That it's the same power, watch, this is what he's going to show us, that it's the same power that saves us that continues to work in us. It's the same power that showed up and did the first miracle that shows up and does the other miracles. That I love, watch this, I love God is not a one and done God. He doesn't just show up and save you and be like, all right, you're saved, figure it out. All right, you're saved, you go into heaven. Now I hope you can figure everything out. That is not our Heavenly Father. That is not what he does at all. That is not his power available to us at all in this world. And so the Apostle Paul says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, through his power in the inner man. And as you read the book of Acts, let me take you back to the book of Acts. As you read the book of Acts, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about. That it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same power that did the first work, the salvation, that first miracle. That it's that same power that he says that quickens our mortal bodies. It now resides inside of us. It's that same power. And when you go to Acts and the study of the New Testament, the new church, right before Jesus ascends to heaven, he looks at the disciples and says, go wait. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a power. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what was going to happen, what it was going to look like. And he says, when the comforter comes, some of you that know the text, when the comforter comes, you'll receive speaking in tongues. Is that what he says? That's not what he says. Now listen, I believe in speaking in tongues. You're in a church that appreciates the gifts of tongues. And we believe in the speaking of tongues. But don't just take my word. Go read Acts. Jesus didn't look at the disciples and said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll get tongues. That's not what he says. Now, did tongues happen? It happened. We see it in the text. Jesus didn't say, you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive prophetic word. That's not what the text says. Go read it. It's not what it says this week. Go read it in your time. Now, listen, do I believe in prophetic word? Absolutely. God, there's been words of prophetic word over my life. There's been prophetic words over this church. I believe in words of knowledge. I believe in every gift of the Holy Spirit, in the miracles and the healings. Watch. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit, when the comforter comes, go read it this week. He says you will receive, if somebody knows it, come on, say it. You'll receive what? Power. You'll receive power when he comes. You'll receive power when he shows up in your life. And I think for you and I, oftentimes we forget that's the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying, that there is something available. There is someone available. There is a power available through it. Jesus is greater. He is more than enough. And there's this power available through us and for us that oftentimes we don't live out in. I think of the story. There's this young man, this little kid. One day he's out playing in the sandbox and his dad's watching him through the window. And he notices his son is playing, and then after he's playing for a little bit and he's got the toys, he begins to dig a little bit. And then he notices the digging that looks playful begins to turn into frustration digging. And just like any good mother would do who would run out and help, the dad does what any good dad does. He stands and he says, all right, let's see how good this gets. And he stands and he watches, right? And the kid is digging. And now he notices that the little boy has exposed this large stone in his sandbox. And now he's digging as much as he can, and he's realizing he's trying to get the stone out of the sandbox, and he's digging, and he's frustrated, and now he notices he's got it exposed, and he's pushing, and the little stone is not pushing, and now he's mad, and he's frustrated, and he kind of leans up against the edge, and he's using his feet as much as he can, and he's trying to use all the leverage he can, and he's not, and he's wearing himself out, and he's exhausted, and finally the little boy starts breaking down and crying, and he comes running in the house, and the dad comes to him and says, "What's wrong with you?" He goes, "Dad, I'm mad, I'm frustrated." He goes, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "Well, I've got this stone in my sand bed, this big rock, and I tried to dig it out, and I couldn't get it moved." And he said, "Well, did you use all the power you had available for you?" He goes, "Yes, Dad, I used everything I had." He goes, "I dug as deep as I could dig, and I pushed as hard as I could push." And the dad was like, "But did you use every power you have available for you?" He goes, "Yes, Dad, I did." He goes, "I'm as strong as I can be, and then I even put leverage, and I pushed with my legs." And the dad knew he wasn't understanding. He said, "Son, did you use every power you have available for you?" And now frustrated and crying, the boy yells out. He goes, "Yes, Dad, I used all the power that I had." He said, "Son, I didn't ask, did you use all the power you had? I said, did you use all the power available?" He goes, "Not one time did you come in and ask Dad for help. Not one time did you come in and say, Dad, can you come give me a hand?" And listen, that's what we do. Don't judge a little boy too hard, because we do the same things in our own life, that we find these obstacles in our life and we dig and we push and we use all the pressure we can, and our Heavenly Father sits in heaven. He goes, "You're not using all the power you've got available. Oh, you're using all the power you have, but you're not using all the power you have available. There is someone greater. There is something greater." And listen, watch. Most of the time in my life, my inability to meet my needs is simply because I'm walking in the wrong power. It's not because God is not able. It's not because God is not powerful. A lot of times it's simply because I haven't asked. You're like, "No, but I asked." No, but I didn't ask. And I find myself wearing myself out. I find myself being tired. I find myself being frustrated. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in that boat. Like, "I've been doing everything I can." Yeah, you have. But have you been using everything that you have available? Because this is what I've come to understand, watch, that if there is no lack with God, let this sink in, and if I find myself lacking, then clearly I must be pulling from the wrong source. If there is no lack with God, and hopefully by this end of the message, if you don't believe it, you'll believe it then. If there is no lack with God, whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation is, whatever the trial is, whatever the relationship is, whatever joy, peace, you fill in the blank. If there is no lack with God and I find myself lacking in that area of life, then clearly I'm pulling from the wrong source. Paul says, watch this. He says, there is this mountain. We just sung about it. Or there's this faith that can move mountains. We just sung about it. He says, there's this power that is available. And now, but watch, this is what he does. He's talking about this power that works from the inside to the outside. Because go read it. Go read our text. Look, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in where? The inner man. The inner man. Because watch, when I let God work on the inside, what happens on the outside is just an overflow. When I let God take control of my joy on the inside, when people look at me and say, "Man, there's something different about you. You should be going through this storm. You should be miserable, but you've got a smile that I don't even know how you've got that smile." How? You're able to say, "Oh, you just seeing on the outside what God's been doing on the inside. I know you're going through this trial. I know what the doctor said. I know what the report says, but you've got just this glow about you, and it's almost like this confidence about you. Like, and you shouldn't have that confidence. What is it about you that all you're just seeing on the outside what God is doing on the inside?" And listen, the Apostle Paul tells us it's according to his riches that he does this, that it doesn't depend upon what I have or what I do not have. It's according to his riches. Philippians 4:19 says it like this, "And my God shall supply your needs." According to what? Not what I have, not what you have, but according to his riches and glory. And can I remind you, there is no lack in his riches? Can I remind you, there is no lack in his supply? Can I remind you, there is no lack in his resources, that he has everything that you need, that he is the ultimate supply of all of the needs in your life, that with him, Jesus is more than enough. See, if I was a billionaire I'm not, don't ask. But if I was a billionaire and I gave you $1,000, that would be nice, right? But if I was a billionaire and I gave you $1,000, that would be out of my riches. Oh, Matt's a nice guy. He's a billionaire. He gave me out of his riches. But if I was a billionaire and I wrote $1 million check to you, that would be a gift to you according to my riches. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? One gift would be just a portion, and one gift would be a proportion of what I already have. And listen, that is our Heavenly Father. That is, he has everything that you need. There is no lack. I just said it. There is no limit. There is nothing that he cannot do in your life. So when we go to him and we submit ourselves and we surrender to him humbly and we begin to ask God, your power at work in my life, you don't have to say, I hope he's got enough for me on Wednesday because he's got enough for you on Wednesday. You don't have to say, I hope he gets me next month because he's got enough for you next month. Because with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, he's not just enough. He's more than enough. Turn to the person you're sitting next to. Tell him, say, he's more than enough. He's more than enough. Paul says, you come and you get in the right position. You surrender. You let go. You release everything you've been trying to do. And when that happens, he says, this power comes. This power is made available. But now watch what he does. Because I'll be honest, I like a lot of that. I can get with that. Me and Paul on the same page. All right, God's power available to me and through me because I got all this stuff going on in my life. God, I need you to come and fix everything that's going on. But watch what he says in verse 17. This is why the power is here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. These whole three passages, right? These three verses you could preach a whole message on. So much here. He says, let me talk to you about the process now of understanding Jesus is more than enough. He says, we come to our life, we come to a point in our life where we surrender humbly, we submit, we release. And when it happens, power is made available to us and through us. But why does this happen? He lays out this process. Because I'm going to be honest, it challenges the very way I pray sometimes. At the very end, he gives us the answer. I'm going to give you the answer, then we'll work backwards. He says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, the love of Christ, the love of God towards me, and the love of God through me towards others. Now, the reason Paul writes this, if I can give you some context, he writes to the church in Ephesians because there's a turf war going on. That basically the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians, those people who are not Jews, they're both Christians, but they're not getting along. Paul's saying this conflict is not right. There should be unity. He said, you're missing the real purpose of the power. And he gives them the answer. He says, it's to know the love of Christ. So the love towards me and the love towards others. Now, last month, we preached a whole message on love. I'm not going to go and unpack everything. If you missed that whole series, go back and read it, how powerful the love of God is, not just to me, but how powerful and how much the world needs the love of God through me to other people. And again, I told you earlier that both of these prayers that we read in Ephesians, as well as other prayers that Paul writes in the New Testament, a lot of these prayers deal with the spiritual condition of the inner man and not the outside needs of man. Now, I'm not going to lie. If I'm Apostle Paul, I'm in prison. I'm chained to two guards. The reason I pray is, Lord Jesus, get me up out of this jail. That's the prayer I'm praying. I've been there before. That was my prayer. Lord Jesus, get me out of this jail quickly, right? That would be the prayer you would think that Apostle Paul would pray. That's not what he's praying at all. That's not what he is saying. Certainly, now hear me this morning, it is not wrong at all to pray for physical and material needs. But the emphasis, this is what he's going to show us, watch. The emphasis on understanding Jesus is more than enough. The process that God wants to do, that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, the emphasis should be and is always on the inside. Because again, watch, I said it earlier. Paul knew this, and this is what I want to tell you, that if we allow the Holy Spirit to take care of the inside, the outside's always going to take care of itself. If we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in me, he'll be able to do whatever he needs to do through me and outside of me. And now it's going to get really quiet because this is the part we don't like. Because the Holy Spirit comes and Paul's saying it's Jesus. Jesus, he is more than enough. That oftentimes, let me make it personal again. Too many times my prayers focus on the physical and material needs. And they fail to pray for the deeper stuff that's going on in my life. I know y'all are really saved. Y'all got this part down. So I'm just going to talk about me for a second. Oftentimes when I pray, it's all about what God needs to do for me. And not necessarily what God needs to do in me. And watch, I tend to think of prayer, I'm saying I so y'all don't get mad at me, but really it's we. But I tend to think of prayer as more as a means of presenting my requests before God, as if he doesn't know what I need already, right? So I'm like, well, God, let me remind you today what I need. And God's like, yeah, duh, I already know what you need. And so I use prayer as more of a, hey, man, let me get my needs to God rather than, okay, God, what do you need to do in order to accomplish your work in me? Let me give you an everyday example. Anybody ever had somebody that's got on your nerves other than me? Come on, raise your hand. Don't you dare be more saved than me on this. Come on, who's ever had somebody get on your nerves? Raise your hand nice and high. If you got kids, everybody better have your hand raised. Right? We all had people get, have you ever done this before? And you're like, Lord, God, you know that person getting on my nerves. I see them all the time. I work with them. They're at my school. God, they're in my family. God, I'm married to them. I don't know who it is, right? I'm just saying. I'm not saying this is me. I don't know what it is. But God, this person gets on my nerves so much, and I need you to start working. And you start listening up. I need you to deal with the way that they talk to me. God, I need you to deal with how they are with their words. God, I need to deal with, you know, I feel like they don't appreciate me. And then the more you pray, God starts saying, hey, you know what, really the problem is your attitude. God, I don't want you working my attitude. God, I need you to fix them. Come on, you ever done that before? And like the more you pray, you know, God, this person, they really trying me right now. And you know how I am on Monday morning. I ain't even had my coffee yet. And they already trying me. And they getting on my nerves already. And God's like, no, really what you're going to need this week is patience. No, God, I don't want to talk about patience right now. I'm just trying to get you to fix this person. Right? You ever done that? What is that? This is what the Apostle Paul is going to show us. Watch. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is more than enough. That it's not just so much about what happens on the outside. That prayer is not really about getting what I want. But watch this. But it's really about asking God to help me and understand what I need. That Jesus being more than enough is not about me asking Jesus meet all of my wants. But God, I need you to meet my needs. Because you know what they are and I don't. I know this person is trying me, but God, you know if I need patience. God, I know this storm is rocking my life right now, but you know I need peace. God, I know these circumstances are unfavorable. God, I know that this person did me wrong, but you know I need forgiveness because I got to let it go. Do you see the difference? And this is what happens, that oftentimes is what Paul's showing us, that when we begin to pray that the Holy Spirit works, that God works, Jesus is greater than everything. It's a revelation that when we begin to pray, it opens our eyes up to everything that we need in our life. And he uses these verbs. I don't have time to really unpack it all, but just write them down. They're not in your notes. He uses this verb, dwell. That means to settle down, to feel at home. What Paul is saying is it's this deeper experience. It's this deeper That praying is this deeper experience between Christ and his people, that something deeper, I dwell, I'm able to rest, that I can be going through a storm and I'm still able to dwell, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David wrote it in Psalm 23. That I may be able to rest even though things are going on. I may rest even though circumstances are unfavorable. And then he uses this other verb, this verb rooted. We know, again, rooted, it's a plant word. It means trees, it means roots. A tree must dig its roots into the ground to get the water, to get a tree must dig its roots in the soil to get its nutrients. And again, I have to ask myself, Jesus is more than enough. If I'm not living that out, I have to ask myself, well, then what am I really drawing my nourishment and my stability from? Because if that's not where I'm rooted, if I'm rooted in circumstances, if I'm rooted in how much money I got in my bank account, if I'm rooted in how well things are going on around me, if I'm rooted in no trials and no tribulation. And he uses this word grounded. It's an architectural term. First, it refers to the foundations being laid. And again, we know that. Again, if you've ever been around buildings, we know that if the foundation is not right, then you can't build anything on top of it. And so for you and I to understand, Jesus is more than enough, that there's depth that has to be to that relationship. There's depth that has to be to my prayer life, that if I don't go deep, I'll never be able to go high. If Jesus being more than enough is just about when life is okay, there's no depth to that. If Jesus being more than enough is when everyone else around me is going to church, then there's no depth to that. If Jesus being more than enough is when there's no trials or no tribulations, there's no depth to that. And then he goes on in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is, watch what he says, the width, the length, the depth, and the height. What is the, see what he does? How wide? How long, how deep, how high. This is what the love of God, this is what the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to comprehend how deep, how wide, how long, how high. See, when you really think about it, no Christian ever has to worry about having inadequate spiritual resources to meet the demands of life. But at the same token, even though I can say that easily, it's hard to comprehend that. And so what Paul does, what he's showing us is that when we pray, that we also pray for spiritual strength and spiritual depth so we can be able to understand. Think about it. To really comprehend, how do I forget all of the good things he's done? How do I forget how he brought me out the first time? How do I forget how he rescued me the third time? How do I forget how he provided for me time after time again? Why? Because my mind forgets and I'm not able to comprehend that there is no lack to his resource. He would say it like this in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. That there's no limit to anything that God has for me. It's this process, though. It's this process of his power at work. And why do we have that power, though, made available? Is it so our life can be a lot easier? No, that's not it. Why do we have this power available to us? Is it so we can never have any problems? No, that's not it. Is that so people can look at us and say, man, that person never goes through any trial? No, that is not it. The reason we have power made available, John 16 and 14 tells it like this. It is the Spirit of God that was given to glorify the Son of God in heaven. So the reason we have the power made available to us, the reason we can live out Jesus is more than enough, is to not walk through life scot-free. It's to not never have any difficulties and trials and tribulations. But then when people look at our life, they can say, how do you do it? Man, how are you getting through this? Man, how do you have so much joy? You can say, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done for me. So you and I can bring glory to him. Not so we can live a comfortable life. Jesus is more than enough. Not so I can just have an easy life. So I can bring glory to God. He says it's this process that you and I have to walk out. It's this process that we live. And then watch what he says. So watch. He says, we come to ourselves. We come to God, position. We humble ourselves. We release. What is it this morning you need to release? He says, after we release, we let go, the power comes. Jesus makes his power, or God makes his power through Christ available to us. So the power is at work. But again, it's not just to solve all of our external needs and our problems. It's to work on the inner man, because that's God's ultimate goal, to work on the inner man. And when he begins to work on the inner man, then things begin to take care of itself on the outside, and other things begin to happen, and this process happens, and ultimately God gets glory. But I'll be honest, when I get to the end of those verses, that just wears me out, to be honest with you. I feel like I'm more tired than I was before when I read that. So I'm like, sorry, so what you got? Okay, man, I get it. I got to come. got to humble myself. Okay, good. God, I release. Okay, after I release, okay, the power comes. All right, then God's going to work on the inner man. Okay, I got to dwell. I got to be grounded. I got to be rooted. Okay, I got to be high down. Okay, there's a foundation. I got to do all of this. Okay, and then God's working on the inside. And man, I'm jacked up on the inside. So that's going to take a while. And then I got to do all of this stuff. And then now what? No, okay, but Jesus is more than enough. And now I feel like I'm just barely good enough. Do you see the problem? And so if we try to live this out in our own life, come on, Pastor Lindsay, if we try to live this out on our own, we get ourselves back right to square one, to where we started. You ever felt like you've been there before? That you did all of this progression, and after the progression, you felt like you was just right back at square one? You felt like you did all of this stuff good, and you're like, all right, yeah, I'm here. And then you're like, okay, but I feel like I'm just here. That's what Apostle Paul is going to show us now. Watch. Now he's going to show us the problem. This is what happens when we understand Jesus is more than enough. Now, it's not about how much more I can do. It's not about how much more I can try, but it's how I release. It's how when I allow the Holy Spirit working in me, it's the process that I allow him to do. Look at what he says in verse 20. Now to him, he's about to close it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I love that. Now, I don't know about you, he just asked a lot, right? We just read it. I got to humble myself. I got to do this. And then I got to, the power of the Holy Spirit and the inner man, the outer man, like foundation. I got to dwell. Man, I'm working hard. And then he ends. He goes, all right, here we are. Now to him. He's going to point us back to the direction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I love what Paul does. He right here, he's going to bring it to a close. And it seems in Ephesians, if you go read the whole chapter of Ephesians, he uses every word possible to convey to us the vastness of God's power. And I hope you get this morning. If you go read this week, go jot it down. I don't have it in your notes. Go read Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 23. I referenced it early. But in that particular passage, the Apostle Paul writes and he tells us that Christ's power is so great that he rose from the dead and he ascended far above all. That's how powerful God is. That he rose, we're going to celebrate in a few weeks, that he rose Jesus from the dead and ascended him above all. And then he goes on in Ephesians, write it down, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Go read that for your devotion this week. And he teaches us the power of reconciliation. And for them, it was the Jews and the Gentile Christians, the power of reconciliation to each other and the power of reconciliation to God. He's showing how great God's power is. Now watch. God's power is big enough to raise Jesus from the dead. God's power is great enough to reconcile people to each other and to reconcile people to him. But in this particular passage, this power that he's referencing to us, we've asked a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we have to do. There's a lot of things that we have to pray for. But in this particular passage, he gives us this exciting truth. And he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Get that. You come in this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor Matt? I'm going to ask God for joy because I need joy. Guess what? He's got it and then some. You say, you know what, Pastor Matt? Man, I need some peace this morning. I'm going to ask for peace. Guess what? He's got your peace and then some. You know what, Pastor Matt? I need forgiveness in my life. I'm not even right with God. I need to surrender my life to him, but you don't know what I've done. Guess what? He's got forgiveness for you today and then some. Dude, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now to him, when we come to Jesus, then we don't have to think, how do I do this on my own? How do I make this happen? Because that just puts us back at square one. That puts us back at the first step. He says, I'm come to remind you now to him who is able. Watch, this is what he's saying, that if I have Jesus, I've got access to it all. If I've got Jesus, I've got access to everything he needs. If I've got Christ, I've got access to all the power that I need. If I've got Christ, I've got access to all the peace. I've got access to all the joy. Can I show you something? Acts chapter 3. Two disciples to go into the temple. Come on, stand. I'm out of time. To go into the temple. They're going to go worship. And as they go to the temple to worship, there's some beggars or there's a beggar, he's standing on the side of the road and starting begging. And he's screaming out, silver and gold, I need some money. Oh, I need some money. You ever been there before? I need some money, God. You need to give me some money. And he's back crying out, I need some money. And the disciples walk by and they look at him as he's crying out. And he's saying, I need some money. I need some silver and gold. And some of you know the story. Go read Acts chapter 3. The disciples look at him. What do? They say, silver and gold we don't have. I don't have what you want. He says, but I got what you need. I don't have silver and gold, but I got something better for you. And the Bible says that he says in the name of Jesus that he picks the man up and he starts to walk and he goes into the temple and he's praising and people around are just stunned and they're amazed. What am I trying to tell you this morning? Listen, I've come to remind you, you came in this place wanting one thing, but God says, I don't got what you want, but I do got what you need. And what you need, I'm not limited in my resource. What you need, I'm not limited in my supply. I have more than enough. That's why Paul says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. So you need peace, he's got peace for you. And then some. You need a miracle, he's got that miracle, and then some more. You need joy, he's got that joy, and then some more. I could take you to John chapter 6. Oh, I love it, and I gotta close. John chapter 6. It's the story, it's the miracle. They show up on a mountain. Go read it this week if you don't know the story. And the people are hungry, and he's been teaching, and Jesus says, we gotta feed the people. And disciples said, Jesus, we ain't got enough money. I don't even know where to go to get as much bread as we need. And Andrew shows up and goes, listen, Jesus, I don't know what you can do with this, but I found a little boy and he's got some fishes and some bread. And the Bible says that he blesses us, he blesses it, and he breaks it off and he starts passing it around. And the people eat so much, guess what? It's not an appetizer. It's not something that gives them just a little bit till they get home. The Bible says the people eat so much till they're full, till they're stuffed. Listen, what am I trying to tell you? He don't have enough peace just to get you to tomorrow. He's got enough peace to get you to the end of the next week. He's got enough peace to get you to next month. He's got enough joy to get you into 6 months. Listen, God is not a God of... You ever been to the end of the week and you've been spent? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Like you just crashed. Some of y'all were spent when you walk in on Sunday morning. I see your face, and I'm glad you're here. But you walk in, you're like, I'm just spent. I don't have no more joy in me because life has weighed you down. I don't have no more peace in me because circumstances. And you walk in, and you're just empty. You're spent. What I love about John chapter 6, he feeds the people till they're stuffed. And if that's not good enough, you know the story if you've read it. He looks at the disciples and he says, hey, go get some baskets because there's some leftovers. Ha! He says, go get the basket because there's still some pieces we need to collect. What am I trying to tell you? Listen, I've come to remind you, we don't have a God of lack. We've got a God of leftovers. We got a God that can show up and not just give you what you need in the moment. He can give you what you need to take you to the next destination. He can give you what... So I don't have to be spent. When Jesus is my source, I don't have to be empty when he's got everything I need. I don't have to come into life lacking and wanting because with Jesus, he is more than enough. With Jesus, he has everything I need. Through him, there is no lack. Would you like to have some joy left over next week? Would you like to have some peace left over next week? Would you like to have some forgiveness left over next week? And people come and say, how do you have that joy? Well, guess what? I got some left over. Let me give you some of mine. How do you have that peace? I got some left over. Let me give you some of mine. How do we do that? When we understand and we come to God and we surrender to him and we humble ourselves and his power comes. Oh, we surrender and we understand he is more than enough. He is more than enough. He doesn't just have what you need today, church. He's got what you need tomorrow. He's got what you need next month. Come on, I want you to lift your hands.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at PastorPhil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.